Would you turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 23. In 2013, one of the world's top financiers quit his job with no apparent real reason. Immediately, the financial world was buzzing with, guessing game. Wonder why this guy, his name is Mohammed El Arian, he's the head of the PIMCO, P-I-M-C-O. He quit his job where he get paid $100 million a year. That poor guy was not making ends meet. Over $47,000 per hour job. While he's drinking beer, drinking coffee, and answering emails for an hour, he made more money than many of us in a year. Anyway, the reason is because he was the president of the PIMCO, was the $2 trillion investment firm. A year later, El Arian came clean about the real reason he quit his job. Not one reason, actually, 22 reasons. It turned out to be that his 10-year-old daughter presented him 22 times he missed out important events in her life in that year. It hit him like a ton of brick. And he realized it was a wake-up call. And he realized that his work and family life was completely out of whack. He now has a few part-time jobs. Trust me, he's now flipping the burgers in McDonald's. This 56-year-old man quickly admit that he was fortunate to be in the position where he could quit the job and be with his child. But he also state that many people, single parents or the low-income family, cannot do that. Just quit the job, work less, and to spend the time with the kid. Yes, Mohammed El Arian certainly made a controversial choice with his career path. No doubt that he gave up the prestige, wealth, and the power to go with his job. In return, he got something that money cannot buy. One of the three most influential and respected Israel people by the Israelis were Abraham, King David, and Moses. Made a similar choice like El Arian. I'm talking about Moses, of course. Not for his daughter, but for his God. Moses, by faith, made his choice to follow God of Israel instead of the many gods of the Egypt that went with wealth, power, and prestige. We'll make millions of decisions in our lifetime. Not every choice that we make has a long lifetime repercussions. But there are definitely decisions that will bring the good and or the bad consequences to us. The most important choice that we make in our lifetime is accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in one's life. Everything else comes in second. The process we will come across before and after the choice can be divided into three stages: refusal, determination, and willingness. Let me say one more time. Refusal, determination, and willingness. Let's learn from Moses how we can make right choices when we stand at that fork in the road. Let's stop and pray. Father, we want to do what is right in your sight, not in our sight. Whenever we do things in our sight, we always foul up. Father, As a follower of Jesus Christ, let your will be our will. Let your ways be our ways. Teach us to refuse the sinful things. Teach us to make a determination to honor you. And teach us the willingness to follow even if it goes against our logic. Father, open our heart to receive what you have for us and anoint our heart to understand your truth. Especially anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart. And we also ask you to speak to the President Obama, that he may understand the truth of God and who Jesus Christ is. Whatever it takes for him to come to know Christ. And also asking you a hedge of protection around our troops and our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 23 of chapter 11, please. First stage, refusal to the sinful life here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of a king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Stop there, please. Every grandparent think that their kids are the cutest baby in the world. Don't we all? But the Moses had to be the most, quite a good-looking kiddo because Bible says so. His godly parents chose to go against king's edict to save this child. To get the proper background, we need to learn about the political culture and atmosphere of Egypt at that time. The River Nile brought the rich agricultural soil from afar to the delta area. This delta area is very big. From that delta area, they could generate enough corn and rice to feed the entire known world. In other words, the countries around Egypt had to rely on, literally, at the mercy of Pharaoh of Egypt. And they would come to his court, a hat in their hand, and politely standing there and waiting for the mercy of Pharaoh when they have a famine. Consequently, Egypt was an ancient superpower kingdom in that region with a stately temple, an advanced civilization, loose moral, and many idols. The cream of all the Egypt would pour into the cup of Moses, and he was brought up in the palace and was known as the grandson of Pharaoh. When he rode the princely convertible chariot in the streets, his advanced man would yell to the people on the streets, bow the knees, and he was treated as the prince. Moses became a statesman and a soldier. When Ethiopian armies invaded Egypt, they were coming up close to the capital city of Egypt, Memphis. According to the oracles of the Egyptian priest, Moses was selected and he was chose to lead the troops against the Egyptian army. And he did. And he won decisive victory and took a lot of spoils and slaves back to the Egypt, and he became a national hero. According to Josephus, the Jewish historian, Moses was appointed as crown prince, which means he's going to be the next pharaoh of Egypt in some day. With that background in mind, let's think about the choice Moses made. Though he was living in the luxury palace of Memphis in Egypt, his heart was in the midst of the Hebrew people. Hebrew people who are no more than slaves. And wrestling with the tension, embracing the materials of the expense at the spiritual things. His choice was made carefully, but at the same time decisively. The mental picture in verse 25 and 26 is the fork in the road that forced Moses to make a hard choice. The road veered to the left is well-traveled, and it was broad, and well-paved with the golden opportunities and enticements to enjoy the passing pleasure of sins. But the road on the right was a pothole with uncertain footings and shaky bridges and rough, rocky trains ahead. But his choice of the road was determined by what he thought through. Did you get that? What he thought through. King James and New King James translate it as esteemed. New International Version translate regarded, and New American Standard Bible translate consider. The Greek word for this is hegeomai, and the literal definition is to lead, to go before, or think ahead. Note that word, think ahead. Moses looked far down the road where his decision would take him. And that was the place where his eternity would be in balance. The reward for the enduring reproach of Christ outweighed the experience of enjoying anything that Egypt could offer. Let's put that thing in our term. The biggest downfall of people who choose the passing pleasure of the sin over God's way do not think ahead other than what is in front of them immediately. They don't think about the consequences. If it feels good to them, guess what? They do it. No matter what kinds of disaster they would face later. Did you get that? They don't think ahead other than what's in front of them. And if there is a temptation with a nice lure, and they don't think about the hook behind that temptation, and they go down, hook, line, and sinker. I've seen one too many. I hope none of you would face that. Keep your finger in Hebrews. Go to Matthew chapter 7, our memory verse, please. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. Say out loud, destruction. And there are many who go in by it. In light of what's happening in this country lately, more and more Americans are being divided by the influence of media and celebrities over the truth of God. I can understand that unbelievers want to accept gay marriage. But I do have a problem with the people who call themselves Christians, yet they embrace ungodly decision as the right one. If they are born again Christians, they should be appalled by that choice and that decision. Yet they go on with the business as usual. Second stage is a determination to live. Verse 27, please, in chapter 11. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Don't think that, please don't think that Moses' decision was casual and easy one. He was walking away from everything except his robe on his back. Yet by faith, he chose to leave all that behind. This kind of choice requires a strong backbone and determination to follow God no matter what. Moses chose imperishable, saw the invisible, and did the impossible. He believed that his God could take care of the wrath of the Pharaohs. You might be in the same similar situation now. You can choose the road that leads to the easier life materialistically, but there's a small voice in your heart telling you consistently that it is not the right road to choose. Are you going to leave the easy road or are you going to ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit within you? Guess what? It is your faith and it is your choice. Third stage, willingness to do what God wants. Willingness to do what God wants. Hebrews 11:28, please. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. To understand what's happening here, we need to go to Exodus chapter 12, please. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. And they, that's the Israelites, shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the house where they at it. And skip down to verse 12, please. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. Now the blood shall be the sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Can you see Moses applying the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, each side, and the lintel? While you're doing that, you're making a sign of a cross. And because of the dead lamb's blood, the death angel passed over them. Because the cross, the death of God passed over us and gave us eternal life in Christ Jesus. Moses was a brilliant man. He was a highly, highly educated man. But he was doing something strange because this unseen God told him to do so. And let's go step further. Who would ever come up with the idea of crossing a sea on the dry bed of the bottom of the sea with 2 million people? Who would come up? Even the Hollywood would not come up with that idea. But God did. God said, okay, you raise your hands, then I will split the sea. And Moses, if he had human logic, think with me, if he had a human logic and not have a faith in God, he would say, yeah, God, that would work well, huh? Can we have an amphibious landing craft or somewhere nearby? That would not be the case. Listen, the difference between the Israelites who crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptian army who chased after them were not courage. Rather, it's a faith in God. Actually, the Egyptian army had more courage and determination than the Israelites, but not the same faith. Because they did not have the same faith in God, they each had a different faith. Israelites passed through the sea. The one who did not have, Egyptian army, did not have a faith in God, were drowned. I'm sure as the Israelites are passing through the bottom of the sea, there's a gigantic wall of water standing on each side. And probably they saw the Nemo. They found the Nemo there, right? Moses was not only the one who did the strange things as the Lord told him to do so. As we studied before, Noah, building an ark for not 12 days, not 12 months, for 120 years in the place where there's no water. Not to mention the word rain not exist. And he told the people who came by, I'm sure they had a tour bus coming in, look at this idiot who was building an ark in the middle of the desert. And he was telling them, he was preaching to them about the God's wrath coming up. How about this? Abraham and Sarah taking a childbirth classes at the age of 100 and 90 years old respectively. And I'm sure their classmates are looking at it and it's like, really? You are pregnant? In our works with the Lord Jesus, the Word of God tells us to do the things that go completely against the human logic. Are we willing to trust Him and follow His ways that go against our logic? Or are we planning to go our ways and hope that God would bless our decisions? A lot of people want to do what they want to do, and they want God's approval on it. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. You do what God tells you to do, and God will bless. If you do what you want to do, God will not bless. A lot of times, we face consequences. And we don't like consequences, do we? Many people in the world say things like, well, I don't believe a God of love judging anyone. Have you heard that? Or the loving God would never dot, dot, dot. Have you heard that? Here's a classical one. Well, I'm not into organized religion. I'm just a very spiritual person in my own way. Have you heard that? Of course we have. Maybe we were one of them. I was. I thought I was spiritual because I went to the church a few times to pick up the check when I was a kid before I met wife. As believers, we need to think and act biblically. Can you say it with me? Biblically. Not emotionally. Not emotionally. Say it with me, please. Not emotionally. By far too many people, including some born-again Christians today, think that God, think about God according to what they have done and what they want to do. Let me say one more time. This is very important. Some born-again Christians and unbelievers think about God according to what they want to do and what they have done, so that they can justify their ungodly thoughts and actions. Our experience is never to be basis of theology. Rather, sound theology should be the basis for our experience. Don't ever try to fit this Bible into your action and your thought. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. and it's worth repeating. All of us, regardless of the spiritual maturity or Bible knowledge, have our own personal theology, which means belief of God, about God, whether it is right or wrong. Many of us neglect the study of God to our own peril. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, if you do not listen to the theology, that will not mean that you have no idea about God. It will mean that you have a lot of wrong ones. One of my relatives said, that's not how I interpret the Bible. I said, I don't care how you interpret the Bible. Bible says what it means, and what it means, what it says. You don't like it, you just went against God. The faith of Moses was rewarded with the deliverance for him and his 2 million Israelites. Faith in God does not guarantee an easy road. Actually, expect a more difficult road. A faith in the Lord Jesus bring us out and take us through and eventually take us in. Let me say one more time. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ bring us out and take us through and take us in eventually. Listen, we are facing the situation that passes our logic so much that we cannot understand what God is doing. Look at the situation now. Whenever that happens, we need to fall back to what we understand. Number one, our Lord is good. Amen? Number two, our Lord is faithful. Amen? Number three, our Lord is a shepherd who leads us and never forsakes us. Amen? That is a real faith in God. Don't ever think that God lost control of this world, especially the United States. He is now worrying on his throne. Let's make three applications. Number one, we need the discernment from the Word of God to refuse the sinful things. We need the discernment from the Word of God to refuse the sinful things. You cannot refuse the sinful thing. I was about to say sinful. Sinful things unless you have that knowledge that comes from the Word of God. The faith in the Lord must overshadow our feelings and logic. Remember, we should not act emotionally, but we should act biblically. Second application. We need to leave our sinful past and the current situation with a godly determination. Our faith in the Lord must be our security. He is our protector. He is our strong tower. Thirdly, we need to have a willingness to do what God tells us no matter what. Our faith in the Lord must silence other people's opinion, even our own logic. Are you with me on that?